Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Wednesday, August 12th, and for the top of the show, we're going to double down on talking about what was said by secondary coach Terrell Austin of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've got a lot to talk about in the secondary today. He had a lot to say about Minkah Fitzpatrick, of course, their star player and all-pro safety from 2019, and he finally revealed something that Steelers fans have been waiting to hear for years, a significantly expanded role for Cameron Sutton. We'll talk about that in the second segment. And finally, we'll address one more defensive back, although this comes from the words of Ramon Foster, who quotes a famous defensive back who made a very controversial statement about the state of sports today. We'll get into all that in the third segment, who it was and why it's important right then. This show is sponsored by RockAuto.com. Rock Auto has amazing selections, reliably low prices, and all the car parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today and tell them that Locked On sent you. Let's get into it. All right, everyone, happy Wednesday. It's hump day, so let's get through it. I'm going to help y'all out starting your day off with some Steelers talk here. Now, before we get into what Terrell Austin had to say, do have to update. There's been a Steelers update in the COVID-19 situation in that their first team player that was officially on a roster that was admitted to the COVID-19 / reserve list has been taken off, and that was cornerback Justin Lane. He's been removed from the COVID-19 reserve list, which means he can now resume practicing with the team, which is a good sign because the Steelers need to see where he's at and what his development is as a cornerback to see what he can contribute to this year. Now, that being said, this is going to be a day where we talk about a lot of defensive backs. So I thought about calling this episode as a whole DB Day, and then I thought, that might not be a good idea for obvious reasons. So we're just going to go with our normal titles on today. But this is going to focus on, first, Terrell Austin's words with the Pittsburgh media. He was interviewed yesterday, and he was saying a lot of things. There's a lot to say about Minkah Fitzpatrick and his role with the team, and that's what I want to focus on. Now, there was a whole Bleacher Report article on the history of Minkah Fitzpatrick. We'll get into that another day. I want to focus on what Terrell Austin was saying about what the Steelers are doing right now with Minkah Fitzpatrick with today's episode. So if you want to read that Bleacher Report article, I suggest you do. It's a good one. They have a lot of good information there. But here, let's talk about the things that Terrell Austin's saying about Minkah Fitzpatrick, because he is saying all the things that we kind of know as fans, but he brings up, you know, more specifics in different context to help us understand just what makes him so great for this team. So here's an interesting quote. In talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick, Terrell Austin said the following: "I think he is a phenomenal football player. Checks all the boxes. Made a lot of turnovers early, and teams try to stay away from him. I think that he will. I think that what he will do is we will be able to move him around a little bit more. Getting him week three like we did last year, you were just trying to throw him in and just trying to get him lined up and all that other stuff. But I think this offseason has been helpful for us and for him and for the group." Austin brings up a very good point. Don't forget, Minkah Fitzpatrick joined in week three of last year. So, yeah, I mean, sure, that's early enough in the year that by the end of the year, you could figure that he's figured out most of the playbook. But you still need time to build that chemistry with your teammates, and he never got that. And that's what I think that they're starting to see, is that could be an advantage this year, is that Minkah Fitzpatrick's actually going to have practiced with his secondary, or at least talk to them so he knows who they are. Another interesting quote that came out from Austin about him, he said, quote, "We have been able to talk some things out and really get down into the details of our defense, and I think that will give him," Minkah Fitzpatrick, "a little bit more ability to show up in a couple different positions than he was last year, which will help him get around the ball a little bit more and keep that production." Now, if you don't know what he means about being on the ball a little bit more, Minkah Fitzpatrick had 5 interceptions that kind of all came in the first half of the season. Once people realized that Minkah was for real for the Steelers and taking away the deep ball, you saw teams not trying to throw the ball deep, not trying to trying to challenge that part of the field, you saw them trying to find other ways to win games against the Steelers, and that was a huge factor. But now, we also see that with Minka Fitzpatrick, there's a question as far as, you know, how far can he make himself part of the defense that you can't avoid him? Because as a free safety last year for the Steelers, when teams didn't want to see him, they would find another part of the field. Like, all right, we're going to look off Minka Fitzpatrick, then we're going to throw the complete opposite direction. And as a strong safety, Troy Polamalu went through that in Super Bowl 45 when the Steelers played the Packers. Go back and watch that game and see how many times Aaron Rodgers just blatantly avoided every zone that Troy Polamalu was part of. He didn't want to test those. That same effect we saw with Minka Fitzpatrick, because teams started just not targeting him. They're like, you know what? If this guy has 5 interceptions halfway through the year, why are we still throwing in his direction? That's what became of Minka Fitzpatrick. But we know from his time at Alabama, Minka can play in the slot. He can help at linebacker. He can help at strong safety while also excelling at free safety. The Steelers, according to Terrell Austin, are ready to move him all around the field. That's exciting because now it's going to be harder to predict where he's lining up on the pre-snap. Before, you could say, all right, you know he's lining up deep. Either he's lining up covering half the field or he's playing that center fielding safety position. So we don't have to worry about anything else. Now you're going to say, oh, he could be covering the slot. You can't come out and predict where he's going to be. That's going to be a huge factor for the Steelers defense to planning around. And as the pressure mounts when Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt, Bud Dupree, and T.J. Watt are bringing the heat, and you got to get rid of the football, if you're not able to account for where Minka is and with all the things that's going to make you start guessing, that's when risky decisions can become very dangerous for you as a quarterback. Because if you don't know where Minka Fitzpatrick is, he could take advantage, and he can be a huge factor for the Steelers. But before we cut through our first break, let me tell you what should be a huge factor for you if you own a car or if you just need help getting car parts. That's our good friend and our sponsors, RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is the place that I go to when I need a spare car part. If you're ever in a situation where you're looking for a specific car part that's tough to find, you're calling around with your dealerships, you're looking at Pep Boys, looking at all these other companies, nobody has the car part. But if you stay right at home, you can save yourself a whole lot of time. Just go on rockauto.com today and you'll find an amazing selection of all the different car parts you'll ever need for any car that you could ever have. Then you'll get reliably low prices that are lower and cheaper than the ones that you'd get if you had wasted all that time shopping around your town at different spots. That part will get delivered right to your door, and then you can get right to fixing your car up to get it back to the place where you know it needs to be. And that's all thanks to RockAuto.com. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today and tell them that Locked On sent you. We'll be right back after these messages. All right, we're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get to talking about another factor of what Terrell Austin said. Now, he addressed Steven Nelson. He addressed some other things that we were all like, well and privy to. We're like, all right, yeah, we know Steven Nelson, highly underrated. You know, his size isn't, you know, people say, oh, he's small. Steven Nelson talked about how he's actually pretty good for his size as a cornerback in the NFL, which he's right. Listen, we're all excited for Steven Nelson. We saw what he could do last year. We're really excited what he could do this year. But there was a specific player who we don't talk about enough because he hasn't been out there enough that Terrell Austin mentioned. And he said this player will have a significant increased role in this year's secondary. And that was Cameron Sutton. Cameron Sutton, if you remember, was drafted in the third round of the 2017 NFL draft. He's a cornerback out of Tennessee. They've used him in the slot position. They've used him outside the numbers at starting, you know, starting outside cornerback. Well, not starting. He's the replacement out there before. But point being, Cameron Sutton has been a guy that they've been looking to use for years. And his background at Tennessee, you saw tape of him. If you studied him before he was drafted, playing safety, both safety positions, both, you know, outside and inside cornerback, tackling, and always looking like he was fine wherever he lined up. That was an exciting feature that the Steelers were ready to use, and especially because he is good tackling in the open field and juggling between roles and positions. which is why a lot of people have been saying for years, okay, when is Cam Sutton going to be finally an additional safety for the Steelers? When is it finally going to happen? Well, Terrell Austin's suggesting that this may finally be the year. Now, of course, this is the end of his rookie deal. The Steelers have signed Mike Hilton to the last of his restricted free agent contracts, which means that next year he'll be an unrestricted free agent and other teams can offer him money, and it's probably going to be a lot harder, next to impossible, to keep Mike Hilton, especially because if teams value him the way that the Steelers do. But Cameron Sutton, he's a guy that can play. Gosh, I just sounded like Chris Collins with, here's a guy! Anyways, I'm not going to do that. Mike Hilton is a guy that he has the size that people think they can pick on, and he plays well in the slot. Cameron Sutton doesn't have that size problem. He's 5'10", he's not huge, but he is the regular size cornerback that people can play with. He reminds me a lot of Deshae Townsend at times. Deshae Townsend was never a superstar player, but he was a very good number two cornerback, especially outside. You paired it with Ike Taylor, the two were just a really good combination. I think Cameron Sutton can be that, but also play around the field. Listen, when I saw Cameron Sutton come into the league, that was the first year that I was ever on the road for DK Pittsburgh Sports covering the Steelers. And I saw when Cameron Sutton got forced into the secondary against the Bengals on the road in a devastating day. This is the same game where Ryan Shazier got paralyzed, the Steelers were down big early, and then Joe Hayden was knocked out. He couldn't play in the second half. The Steelers were desperate. They threw a rookie Cameron Sutton into guard A.J. Green in the second half, and he did well. He actually looked good out there. And I had been loving watching Cameron Sutton on tape because his footwork's always really solid. He looks very technical. If he was pressing you, he knew when to place his hands somewhere, and he was always so happy to talk about that technique. I loved hearing that from Cameron Sutton. But over the past couple of years, we didn't get the chance to see as much of Cameron Sutton as we thought we would after how well he played. And he made some really big plays. He was a big help against the Chargers in closing out the game there. He made a huge play on the ball to close out Phillip Rivers and that game with that interception. And he's been a guy that you plug him anywhere, he's not a major liability. I don't think he's a small liability. He's an asset to the team. But because the team has invested so much lately in getting a Minkah Fitzpatrick, getting a Steven Nelson, getting a Joe Hayden, having a Mike Hilton, these are all positions that have made it tough for Mike Hilton to get his playing time. I think Terrell Austin, the Steelers' secondary coach, one of their secondary coaches, I should remind you, because I still have Tim Bradley, who is the other secondary coach. Austin's going to bring to the table is like, look, we've got this guy to be able to be diverse. And he said as much, that they're excited to see his versatility play into this season. The Steelers still need a guy that's going to be able to call out the defense in the secondary if Minkah goes down, to be that free safety option that knows every other role on the field, but can also play his job pretty well. Sutton doesn't have the rangy kind of speed that's like 4-4 and he's like, hey, I'm just going to fly around the field and just cover everybody. He's not going to be your center fielder. What he is going to be is a technically sound player that can make plays all over the field. And he's going to know that, hey, you know what? We got to cover the seam here. Or, hey, we know that this is a strong point of the opponent. I'm going to take this away. Those are the things that I'm excited to see Cam Sutton do, because if he does those things, it's going to make it so that Minkah Fitzpatrick's moving around is actually doable. Because the biggest worry about Minkah moving around is that if he is not the free safety, then who is? Because then, when you know Minkah's not that guy, you're thinking, oh, well, I could just target deep because Minkah's up here in the box. Well, if you have a guy like Cam Sutton who's able to shut it down deep and to keep everything patched up back there, maybe he won't get the big interception that changes the game, but maybe he'll make sure that those open passes deep aren't actually open, and that he'll take them away from you. And I think that would be extremely valuable for Cameron Sutton, because if he can just be a placeholder that does well and maybe causes a few turnovers on the back end while they move Minkah Fitzpatrick around to confuse offenses, that could make this defense very tough to face. And that's the thing. You can have your superstars, but you got to have your role players. And Cameron Sutton, to me, has always seemed like a role player type of guy. Like, hey, fit me in wherever you need to be. I'm here to be a winner. And I think that that's what the Steelers have right now in Cameron Sutton, and that's where everyone should be excited about where the secondary could go if he does get more time. We'll be covering that more as training camp goes along, reporting what we see in the secondary and how things are developing, but it seems like Steelers fans expect to see a little bit more out of Cameron Sutton. When we come back, I'm going to go over Ramon Foster's latest article on DKPittsburghSports.com. It addresses a legendary defensive back. What does it say and what's his critique? Right after this. All right, we're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Now, let's talk about this article written by Ramon Foster. Now, if you don't know, Ramon Foster, of course, the retired guard from the Steelers, became a writer for the website that I write for, DKPittsburghSports.com. Ramon writes a Tuesday column called On the Line, where he just kind of says whatever he thinks, whatever he's thinking about football and the NFL and everything that's going on like that. He had some interesting critiques here on what Deion Sanders had to say. Now, of course, Deion Sanders, the longtime NFL cornerback, Hall of Famer, multiple Super Bowl championships, all that stuff. Deion Sanders had this interesting thing to say that Ramon based his article off of, and this was a tweet from Deion Sanders. Quote, "All players opting out in all sports, please believe that the game will go on without you. This is a business, and don't you ever forget that. There's no one," and he capitalized, "no one, that's bigger than the game itself. Only the ref, umps, and officials are that important that you can't play without them. Not you. Hashtag truth." Now, Deion Sanders, of course, saying this amid COVID-19, where players in not just professional sports, but collegiate sports are choosing to opt out of the seasons because they're worried about COVID-19. Now, this drew some interesting responses from either side of this discussion. One, it drew people that were like, yeah, I hate the people that are opting out. I think they're punks, or I think that they shouldn't opt out. How dare they? They should be fighting through this pandemic like other essential workers are, even though this isn't essential working. This is just a sport. This is entertainment. There is that sense that people think, like, you know, they could fight this their way through this, and it seems like the NFL is willing to invest a lot into making sure that that they will be safe. But then there's the other side that's like, whoa, Deion, what's wrong with you? Why are you saying that these people are wrong for opting out? Like, they're saying the game won't pass them up. This isn't selfish in the sense that they think that the game is going to shut down. It's just it's maybe selfish in the sense that they're worried about their health or the health of their family. Like, for example, Dante Hightower, who's a Patriot and a Super Bowl champion, he quit because he said his wife has tried before to have a kid and it didn't work out, and they want to make sure that the kid that they just had is going to work out, and they don't want to put anything at risk. I get that. I don't think that that's a bad thing. But at the same time, Ramon Foster's point is that Deion's not necessarily saying that these people are bad guys for opting out. He's just saying that, hey, understand that this is the nature of sports today, that you can get replaced at any point in time, which made me think, that's really a good point. And Ramon Foster put a lot of history into this, and he talked about how if you look over the years, you know, with the Steelers, that when he came into the organization in the late 2000s, he saw Casey Hampton, Brett Keisel, James Harrison, all those types of guys, and eventually they all got replaced. And these are guys that were legends. They'll be honored forever for the Steelers. But if you want to keep a job, the best way to do that is to keep playing and making yourself available. You know, he talked about how nobody's legend keeps them employed forever, or even keeps their numbers forever. He brought up how Alan Faneca, who's one of the greatest all-time Steelers guards, had his number taken by David DeCastro. Now, the Steelers, that's a time that when Alan Faneca was playing, you think about the players who haven't had their numbers worn since. Hines Ward, no one's worn 86. Jerome Bettis, no one's worn 36. Troy Polamalu, no one's worn 43. There's multiple players that haven't had their number worn since that time. And it makes sense. But Alan Faneca, of all the players in that generation, you think that maybe 66 will be one that they protected. It wasn't. But Ramon's Foster, and bringing this up, is he's like, you have to respect what Deion said. And he brings up, you know, he brings up that Deion Sanders isn't necessarily attacking anyone who's opting out. He's reminding them that when you do that, you're opening up the door for yourself to be replaced. And Ramon brings up an interesting point here. Don't forget, two of the elder statesmen that are quarterbacks in the NFL right now, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, both of them replaced starting quarterbacks in the years that they came in. Of course, Tom Brady replaced Drew Bledsoe. Of course, Ben Roethlisberger replaced Tommy Maddox. So these were times when there was a little bit of complacency. You thought you had a starting job, and then whoop, guy comes in, takes over for you, and it's a wrap after that. I think a perfect example is Joey Porter and Clark Hagans with James Harrison in 2006. Joey Porter gets a suspension. He's not suspended. He does something before the game against the Browns that gets him kicked out of the game. James Harrison ends up playing, and he has a phenomenal game. And the Steelers are like, you know what? That might be our guy for the future. And then he becomes the James Harrison for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You never know when your replacement could be waiting in the wings. It could be a guy that you could be that you could be mentoring and teaching and seeing develop. And then all of a sudden, whoop, you're replaced, and fans may be like, hey, we liked you, but there's this new guy's here. We're moving on. That's the nature of the beast in the NFL. It is that case in other sports too. But when you look at the NFL and how many great athletes are just waiting for their shot to take over, Ramon Foster's point is this, is that with players opting out, it's like it's kind of a beware situation. Like, yes, do it. He's not saying, hey, players, don't opt out because you're afraid of your job. But he's saying, hey, when you opt out, you better make sure that you stay in shape and that you're ready to go, because when you come back, you're going to have someone that took your job while you were gone, and that's going to be a person that the team got used to. And if that person did a decent job, that starting job that you had, that position on a roster that you were banking on to make money, it might not be there next year. There's no guaranteeing that. And I think that's what Deion Sanders was trying to remind everyone of. And that's what Ramon Foster's trying to remind everyone of. It was like, hey, in all this noise and all this talk, don't forget that you are still replaceable in this game. And we've seen that of late. I mean, Antonio Brown was the most destructive wide receiver, both in the locker room and on the field. Look at my jokes. But he was unstoppable. You know, for 6 years, he was the best wide receiver in football. And you know, if you had told any person after 2017 that Antonio Brown would be out the league and not playing in less than 2 years, everyone would have said you're crazy. He was the best. He was one of the best things. He was one of the top players. Everyone would have said you're out of your mind. Like that. Like something. He would have had to be like killed for something like that to happen. And here we are, and that's the case. And the NFL's moved on. And yes, there's people still talking about him. There's people saying, hey, like, well, what about Antonio Brown? What about Antonio Brown? But the NFL played an entire season without this guy. They were ready for this. And they're like, you know, and that's the thing about it. There's so much talent. There's so much money. There's so much power in these organizations that one player being gone doesn't shut down everything. Now, several players uniting, that's a different story. And I think that's something that we're seeing right now with more and more sports happening out there that, you know, hey, you know what? Collective voices do matter. You know, the NFL had been very much against the anthem protests and all that kind of stuff and saying Black Lives Matter. But when a video was released of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins and Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott and all these superstars that make up the bulk of their superstardom, saying, you need to say Black Lives Matter, we saw within a day Roger Goodell saying, you know what, yeah, Black Lives do matter, and you know, and we need to do better about this. Collectively, their voices mean a lot, but individually, when you sit out, you're putting yourself at risk. And again, it's not saying, hey, don't sit out if you're not healthy. I kind of agree, because when I read Deion Sanders' tweet, when I saw that, I was like, that's very unusual, because Deion Sanders, I mean, Deion Sanders has always been on the side of the players. He's like, hey, you know what? Make your money when you need to make your money and do your thing and be yourself. He's prime. I mean, that's prime. I mean, Deion Sanders has always been that guy that's on the side of the players. He's never been afraid of saying what he actually feels. That's been prime his whole career. You know, he's Deion Sanders and he's prime time. But so this comes off like, hey, he's being the company man now. That's kind of wild to think that Deion Sanders is relegated to that. And Ramon makes a very good observation that he's not doing that here. That, hey, he's just saying, hey, you know, don't think that just because you're taking off this year, just because of a health concern, that your job is going to be lined up for you next year, because it very well might not be. I mean, and who's to say, like, you know, Marcus Cannon, a tackle for the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick is known for replacing people. If I'm on the Patriots, that's one of those situations where, and apologize, I'm not doing the asterisk insert this week. I'm recording a lot of late shows, so I'm trying to get these done for y'all. But we'll be bringing that back soon. But the point being, Bill Belichick's known for replacing everybody. So if you drop out of the Patriots, know that somebody could replace you and end up being very good. And Bill's like, yep, you know what? We don't need you. And I think that that's the point that everyone has to realize across the league, that your position isn't safe just because you thought it was. So read Ramon Foster's article on the line talking about Deion Sanders this week. I think it's a very intriguing conversation, because some people, you know, are very much against opting out. Some people are all for opting out. This was a very, I think, objective view on what opting out means, not just for the league, but for the players themselves and what their career might be on the line, even more so than what people are talking about in general about this conversation. So check that out. That's our show here on the Locked On Steelers podcast for this Wednesday. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to us. We're anywhere podcasts are hosted. Please also go on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment. Doing so will get you a shout out at the end of the show. Thanks to all those who have done that, because we have had people who've done that. And we have a new one. We're going to give a shout out to our friend Jadeus. Jadeus leaves us a 5-star review and says, "This is the best Steelers podcast. Far away the best Steelers podcast. Chris is entertaining and extremely knowledgeable on all things Pittsburgh and the Steelers. He includes many guests on the show to keep things interesting, and his insider view on the Steelers is what all fans want and need. I was worried when Chris said he had a job change that he was leaving us, but when he said he was staying, it was one of my favorite podcast moments. Chris is my favorite Pittsburgh sports personality, and it's awesome to have him as a host." Oh, Jadeus! I love that. Yes. I love the appreciation. I hope I did that moment. So let's take a second here. I did that moment because I want y'all to see the grassroots of where I'm coming from in my career in Pittsburgh sports coverage. Because y'all saw me, I mean, and honestly, like, if you really follow me from way back when, some people might remember me from my early podcasting days and writing days at Behind the Steel Curtain, when I wasn't allowed to speak but more than 2 minutes because my contributions weren't deemed as valuable enough. And then over time, I got more chances to speak. And then, you know, Jeff Hartman gave me more room to do work, and I appreciate him for that. And then I got on with DKPittsburghSports.com, and then I got on Channel 11, and then, you know, I worked there, and then I got on here with Tony, and now it's my solo show here, and I bring on different guests. I've had so much growth here. So, like, when that moment happened where I was told I was given a full-time job, I wanted to make sure that y'all who've been riding with me and riding with this show for so long were part of that and understood, like, just how important that was for me and how cool that felt. So if you appreciated that moment too, thank you, because that means that you saw that point in my journey. And I hope that there's more points of joy that I can share with y'all on my journey, because maybe that means that y'all stuck with me for some more great times. But thank you, Jadeus, for your review. That's really appreciated. If you want that kind of a shout-out, give me a 5-star review with a positive comment. As long as it's safe for work, it will get read and reacted to here at the end of the show. I'll be back in your ears tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Locked On Steelers podcast.